Acts chapter 9, we'll begin in verse 32, Acts chapter 9, so open your Bible there and we'll read a little bit and see if we can't get something from the Word of God. Acts chapter 9, if you will, verse 32. The Bible says, "And it came to pass, as Peter passed throughout all quarters, he came down also to the saints which dwelt at Lydda. And there he found a certain man named Aeneas, which had kept his bed 8 years, and was sick of the palsy. And Peter said unto him, Aeneas, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Arise, and make thy bed. And he arose immediately. And all that dwelt at Lydda and Saron saw him, and turned to the Lord. Now there was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. This woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. And it came to pass in those days that she was sick and died, whom when they had washed, they laid her in an upper chamber. And forasmuch as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Then Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into this upper chamber, and all the widows stood by him weeping, and showing the coats and garments which Dorcas made while she was with them. But Peter put them all forth, and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up. And he gave her his hand, and lifted her up, and when he had called the saints and widows, presented her alive. And it was known throughout all Joppa, and many believed in the Lord. And it came to pass that he tarried many days in Joppa with one Simon, a tanner." Now, Peter, seemingly, if you will, I'll say it says, as he passed through all quarters, seemingly kind of making a tour, visiting with the saints in different areas, not too awful far from Jerusalem. The Bible said he came to Lydda. If you're reading Old Testament, this is the same place known as Lod, L-O-D. And so now, I'll be honest with you, I don't believe anything happened here by accident. I believe our God was in charge, and all that was happening, all that Peter did, and where he went, and who he saw, who he met, I don't believe any of that was an accident. I believe the hand of God was in it. But the Bible specifically tells us while he went, he healed Aeneas. And then he left there, and he went about 9 miles west. It's about 9 miles from Aeneas to the city of Joppa. Joppa's on the coast of the Mediterranean Sea. And he had heard of Tabitha, Dorcas, that had died, and he raised her from the dead. And, you know, we read these words. We hear about these two deeds, these two healings, and I don't know that we think about things like this a great deal, but these two healings produced obviously a very profound experience for the people who saw it and heard it, okay? And now, obviously, Aeneas and Dorcas were never the same, all right? I don't believe they were ever the same again. But it goes beyond that. The Bible gives us a detail and tells us there in verse 35 that all those at Lydda and Saron, two different places, saw Aeneas. And notice, the Bible said they turned to the Lord. So what went on here had a tremendous effect. And I'll be honest, as I was reading these verses and thinking, Lord, what would you have me to preach from this passage of Scripture? I believe there's something here for us. And what I want to do is I want to draw your attention to verse 34, all right? To verse 34, to the words, that little phrase we read there, I kind of Peter's promise, if you will, to Aeneas when he said, Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. The Lord Jesus Christ had no problem handling the situation. Man, it wasn't hard for him. It wasn't difficult at all for him. And I believe those very simple words, and sometimes as we read, we're reading a little story in the Bible. We just kind of pass through. And it's easy to overlook those words there because we're humans and we get excited. Here's a guy, he's been 8 years, you know, and man, he's made well. And then you go on down to the next little passage, and here's this lady, Tabitha, also called Dorcas. She wasn't sick. She was no longer alive. And through Peter, God raised her from the dead, all right? So simple words, though. Jesus Christ maketh thee whole. I want us to just consider that for just a little bit tonight. I want you to see this. Aeneas was not the only person that needs to be made whole. Not the only person that needs to be made whole. I believe there's a host of folks in our day that need to be made whole. Now you say, well, and now they don't have palsy. I'm not talking about that. They haven't been incapacitated and in bed for 8 years the way he had. But there's a lot of people not whole. A lot of people not whole. Yep, some of them maybe physically because of illness. But a lot of them not because of that. Not necessarily a physical problem at all. Many are not whole psychologically and emotionally because of what has happened to them. All kinds of mistreatment and abuse, whether it be physical, verbal, sexual, all kinds of abuse. I continually, more and more, I hear about people I know that were abused. People that I didn't know that about. But more and more I hear those things, all right? Then there's some that mentally have problems. Now, I don't mean that they're insane or that, but they have problems. They're mentally not whole in our day. It could be because of drug use. It could be because of some experience they've had in life. But people need to be made whole. Could just be a wounded spirit, a troubled mind. Could just be a hurting heart, if you will. We live in a day where more and more people are scarred, they're battered, they're burdened by many, many things. And we run into people like that. So what is there for them? I think, first of all, we need this. I think people need to seek his help. We need to seek the help of the Lord Jesus Christ. He is in the business of making people whole. He's in that business. But it's necessary that we seek him. I know those people today, they'll seek help everywhere, but seem like they do not or will not come to the Lord Jesus Christ. But I'll remind you, he's the one that invites you to come. Matthew 11, verse 28. Let's go there and just look at the verse, all right? Matthew chapter 11 and verse 28. Our Lord invites people to come to him. You're in need. You have a problem. You have a burden. There's trouble. Well, here's what he says in verse 28 of chapter 11, the book of Matthew. Our Lord said it this way, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest." Come unto me. That's the Lord's invitation. You say, well, that was when he was on the earth. I think his invitation's still open. I think it's still out there for us. It's still for people. Would you come? Would you come to me, all right? Hey, there would have been no invitation if he didn't plan to give help. He's not like, I'm reminded of it. This evening I sat down a little bit, had finished supper, had a little bit of time, and I turned on the television, turned to YouTube, and saw this little blurb about the Titanic. And those little blurbs to get you to watch are usually not true. Have you ever ran across that? You know, they try to hook you with something, and you go, okay, I'll look. So I look, sure enough, oh, it was kind of, the deal was entertaining, it was informative, but it wasn't what they said, all right? But to be honest with you, when I tuned in, I didn't figure it was going to be what they said, all right? Didn't figure it was going to be that, but I wanted to look and just see, all right? Hey, our Lord's not like that, though. His invitation is not, would you come? Oh, I didn't mean it. Oh, when he invites you to come, he said, I'll give you help. He said, you come, all right? You bring it. He's told us, what I believe over in 1 Peter, he says, cast all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Hey, we just need to seek his help. We need to come to him, all right? Also, I think sometimes you need to go where help's offered. Need to go where help's offered. My uncle pastored for years and years, and he always said this, people invariably will call the church and ask for help, all right? Used to, people would come by and they would ask for food, would you help, you know? Nowadays, they want you to pay their utilities, and they want you to pay their rent, and they, you know, some want you to help them buy a car. I mean, it's everything, all right? There, people looking for it. And my uncle said when people called him and said, do y'all help people? He said, we do three times a week. Amen. Three times a week. We do it Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. Amen. And hey, look, that's the Lord Jesus Christ started the church. Amen. He put the church here. Why? Not because it was an entertainment venue. Now people are making it that in our day. Well, it's not that. Church wasn't started to be an entertainment venue. It wasn't put here as a social outlet for men or women, okay? It wasn't here to provide that social function. Look, the church was and should still be somewhat of a spiritual hospital, okay? It's a place for folks to gather together and, you know, to encourage one another. Then we go out to reach people. But at the same time, we bring people in. People need help. Said, do you offer help? We do, right here, three times a week. You just come and tune in, get involved, all right? And man, if you need help, this is a place to be. It's a place to be. Always marvel at people who say, well, I'm having some problems. Once I get it straightened out, I'll come to church. So man, you could get some help with it if you'd come to church. If you just show up, you never know what it would be like, all right? The church provides instruction. It provides inspiration. It provides encouragement. It's to do all of that. It is to do every bit of that. It also gives help, hope, and I believe happiness. There, for that purpose, it helps us, all right? You got problems, come. Now, I'll say this to you. If you got problems, it's not wise to tell everybody all your past and all your problems. But what people will do is come. Get in the house of God and listen. Listen. You know, I tell everybody everything. Unfortunately, church is just like every other place. There's some people in church can't keep their mouth shut. They hear something they think got to tell everything. Now, you shouldn't. If somebody's got an issue, you know, we ought to provide those things. I said help, hope, happiness, inspiration, information, encouragement. Be honest with you. If your church doesn't do that, you ought to find another church. Don't just quit going. Some people go and they get disappointed in a church. Well, I got disappointed, so I quit. Right. Brilliant reasoning. Brilliant reasoning. I went to a store and I got disappointed. I never go to the store anymore. Now we go. I was at Sam's yesterday. And yesterday afternoon, hate to go in the afternoon. Crowd of people there. And especially nowadays. They got all of those do-it-yourself, one checkout for people like myself that refuse to use the self-checkout, all right? Not going to go there. So we were in line. A fellow got behind me. Man, he was aggravated. And actually, he was beyond aggravation. He was mad, all right? And so he went looking for a manager, you know, and he went and said, don't talk to a manager. And they never showed him, but... you know what? He'll probably go back to Sam's. He'll probably go back. But it's amazing how many people have a problem and they quit going to church. This is where you come. You need to seek help, all right? Seek help. I encourage you. You say, preacher, ain't nothing wrong with me. I'm not having any kind of problem. I don't feel like I'm broken and not whole. So why are you preaching this for? Because somebody is. They may not be here tonight. They may listen later. Or it may be somebody you cross paths with and you need to go to them and send them some help. Let them go, all right? Send for help. Look what happened here in the scripture, all right? Look what happened in the scripture. There was at Joppa a certain disciple named Tabitha, which by interpretation is called Dorcas. Verse 37, came to pass in those days she was sick and died. And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, And as the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him two men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them. Now, I want you to stay with me just a little bit. Dorcas was already dead. It's not the way it was there when he was invited and called by Lazarus' sisters that, hey, he's sick, and could you come? And he tarried and waited. No, it wasn't that way. This lady was already dead. But the disciples at Joppa heard Peter was not very far away, sent the word, could you hustle on down here? They sent for help, all right? Sent for help. Hey, they sent for help when it looked like there was no hope, all right? A lot of us, we'd look at it and say, why send for him now? Too late. But they sent. Boy, there is that kind of friend. That is the kind of friend people need. That's the kind people need. The one that says, not giving up. I'm not giving up. Now, I'll be honest with you. You know, I'm not telling you God's going to raise somebody from the dead for you. But I'm saying this. Far too often, God's people, we're too quick to give up. We are too quick to give up. We're too quick to decide there's nothing we can do for them. They're past hope. I remember, man, it's years ago. Years ago, dealing with teenagers, and I was talking about somebody, and I mentioned this kid, and they said, "Oh, don't go by there, Brother Marlon. Hey, he's really bad." Well, that's the kind of people need the gospel. The kind of people need the gospel. Somebody needs to send for help, and we need somebody that won't give up on that one that's got great problems, great needs. Going through the valley, you say, well, they did it to themselves. They probably did. Still need help. Still need help. We don't want to give up. Hey, I think you and I ought to do what we can to help people. I just think we ought to be that kind of person. I don't think we ought to be the one that says, well, you caused it. There you go. Tough it out, bub. Hey, we ought to try to help people. We ought to be the one that says, I'm going to do everything I can. I'm not giving up on them. I'm not giving up on them. If you were to talk to Brother Jesse West very much, I don't know how many times he said to me, preacher, I'm glad you didn't give up on me. He said, I'm glad you didn't give up on me. He said, I'm glad you kept making that trek out to Newark to get me to come to church. Just stayed after it. Stayed after it. I tell people sometimes, I said, you made a mistake when you came to First Baptist Church. Because I'll stay after you until you tell me, leave me alone and don't come back. Now, I've had a few folks say that, all right? And then say, just leave me alone. I said, okay, I will. But, man, look, I think we've got something that'll help people. We've got the truth of the Word of God. It's not found anywhere else. Now, some people, I'm not saying never take anybody to the doctor. Yeah, we need that and all that kind of stuff. But I'm saying to you that the Lord can do what nobody else can do, and people that need to be made whole need somebody that'll send for help on their part, all right? Don't do it, all right? If need be, send for somebody, you know, someone else to help that brother, that sister, that friend, that loved one, if you will. You ought to do everything you can, but if you can't do it, then send for somebody else. Go find somebody else that maybe can deal with them. I believe the Lord has somebody can help you. I believe the Lord has somebody can help people. Our problem is we give up too quickly, all right? We give up too quickly. Don't let that happen. Now, the fourth thing I want you to see, and this becomes the difficult part. You're going to say, I don't believe that. You need to accept the help. You need to accept the help. You say, Bridget, what do you mean by that? Let me give this illustration and maybe do it this way. One of the greatest needs so many people have is forgiveness. We need forgiveness. All right? Disobedience, disregard for the command of God has got people into sin, and it's separated them from the Lord. It's brought his chastening hand in their lives. It's broken them, if you would. They are broken people because of it. Now, what they need is forgiveness. And they need God's forgiveness. They need to go to God and ask him to forgive me. Listen, I think that's something all of us need to be conscious of doing. I believe anywhere, it doesn't have to be some what we would call major sin, but whatever it might be, if we realize, hey, I have sinned against God, right then, we'll ask God to forgive us. Don't wait while I'll do it on Sunday. Well, I can go forward and cover a bunch of them. No, deal with it right then. We're to seek that forgiveness from God. Now, here it is. Some people do. They've asked for that forgiveness, but I don't think they've been willing to accept that forgiveness. They're not willing, and I think in many cases, I know some names pop up, some I could name that you would know, but I'm not going to. Their problem is they cannot forgive themselves. And they cannot forgive themselves because they really haven't accepted God's forgiveness. They've really not accepted God's forgiveness. It is difficult for you and I to understand the forgiveness of God. Because we're humans. We're humans. And when we forgive, sometimes, depending upon what it is we're forgiving, it is forgiveness with reservation. I will forgive you, but I'm going to keep an eye on you. I'm going to forgive you and we'll restore this relationship, but I'm not going to ever trust you again. Hey, we don't forgive the way God does. His forgiveness doesn't, you know, we talk about unconditional. Well, his truly is unconditional. He said, if we'll come and ask for his forgiveness, he'll forgive us. He'll forgive us. If we just come and ask, if you'll confess and ask, he'll forgive you. But then the problem is, can you forgive yourself for what you've done? See, you won't forgive yourself until you've really accepted his forgiveness. I believe that with all this within me. We've gone wrong, we've messed up, we maybe have hurt somebody, and we may have broken somebody else, but at the same time, we're broken too. We ask for forgiveness, and we may, if maybe I had, offended deeply Brother Marshall, done something to hurt him and wound him, and then I go to him and ask his forgiveness, and he could maybe graciously say, I will forgive you. I could ask God to forgive me for doing it. But then I still hang on to that and think, man, I've done that to him. And, oh, no, you've not forgiven yourself. You've not forgiven yourself. And you have to do that. And I believe there's a lot of broken people tonight that have just never forgiven themselves. They will not accept the forgiveness of a holy God and let him take care of it. Listen, I believe with all my heart he can heal your hurt. He can mend that which is broken. I believe it with all this in me. He can make you whole in every way. But you have to believe him. You have to believe. Now, you know, I even thought about this while I was preparing the message for tonight. And I worry that people say, that's too simple. It's too easy. It's not that at all. But you have to accept what God says. If you want to be made whole, you have to accept what God says. You remember in the scripture over in the Gospel of John, where the Lord Jesus Christ came up to the pool of Bethesda, and those folks were crowded around there, and they waited till the water was troubled, and then the first one could get in, that individual would be healed. And the Bible tells there's a man that lamed there for 38 years. 38 years. And the Lord Jesus Christ came up to him and asked him this question, "Wilt thou be made whole?" And his answer was, "I have no man. I don't have anybody to put me in the pool in time." But see, the Lord wasn't talking about getting in the pool. It really depended upon that guy, would you believe what I'm fixing to say to you? He said, "Rise, take up your bed and walk. Just do what I say. Listen to what I say. Listen to what I say. Do what I say." We come down here to Peter with Dorcas. He said unto her, "Tabitha, arise." The Bible said she opened her eyes and when she saw Peter. You ever stop and think about what that look must have been like? Now, I don't know if they did in those days the way people do in this day, but when somebody dies now, they lay them out, they usually fold their hands. I'm just thinking in my mind, is Dorcas laying there and she hears her name called, she opens her eyes and look at her. Now then the next question is, did she know Peter? Did she know who he was? I mean, I'm sure he had to search. Among believers, he was well known. So, and then, but he told her, "Tabitha, arise." She sat up. "I heard what you said, I'll do what you say." She didn't say, "I'm dead. I've been dead a while now. You know, I just, you know," he said, "Preacher, what do you think?" "I don't know. I just thoughts crossed my mind. What goes on there?" But she heard what he said. Our problem is we come to the place for help. And when that help really is given and offered, we won't take it. We won't take it. Sometimes I just can't believe it be like that. Just can't believe it be like that. I don't really believe, yeah, God will forgive me, but we don't say the but. I know God will forgive me. Yeah, hey, we don't accept it there, all right? We need to learn to do that. You get to the place and somebody opens the Word of God and shows you, hey, you've got a problem. I just want to tell you, God will forgive that problem. God can help you, and He can make you whole. He can take care. He can cleanse your mind. Boy, when it's messed up, you've been abused. You've been mistreated. You're broken. I'm telling you, if you'll come to Him, He can make you whole. He can make you whole. It goes so far that He can give new life. That's what He did to Dorcas. He gave new life. Now, as I've already said, I'm not saying He's going to raise you from the dead, but He can do such a work in you that it'll be a new life for everybody out there to see. People see that. Hey, that's a new life. He's changed everything, all right? He's changed her. Lord didn't change her past. Now the Bible indicates she would be what we would call, she's a pretty good woman. I mean, she did those good deeds, you know. She made the coats and garments for other people and all these good things. She had a good reputation, you know. Now she died. But we don't know what was in that past back there. Have no idea. But I got news for you. The Lord didn't change her past. And the Lord won't change your past. But He can forgive it. And He can give you a new start. You can't change the past. You cannot change the past. Not going to be. If it's a mess, if that past is a mess, and you were everything nobody wants to be, you were all of that, then you just have to accept God's forgiveness and determine from now on it will be different. It will be different. I will live different. He's not going to fix anything. Now, if there's things in your past you can fix, fine. Fix them. But if there's things back there you can't, you go on and you just let the Lord use you after He makes you whole. After He does it. A lot of times people are broken I believe a lot of people are broken in this day because they have the realization, I've wasted my life. I've wasted my life. Could I say this to you? Don't waste the future because of the burden of the past. Don't waste the future. Okay, I messed up. I didn't do right there, and there's days, and I wasted them. Well, I won't use them now. I'm done. I'll just keep wasting them. That doesn't make a lick of sense. Doesn't make any sense whatsoever. Okay, I'm not mowing the grass today because I could have mowed it yesterday, and I didn't. And tomorrow, I'm not mowing it today either because I didn't mow it the last 2 days. He said, preacher, that's an oversimplification, but it's same principle. Same principle. We look back and we think, here's what happened back there. And boy, it's a mess. But I tell you, God gave you a new life. See, I messed up big time. Okay. All right. Bring it to Him. Bring it to Him. As I've said, it's not necessary for you to tell everybody else what happened. It's just not necessary. You can go on. You can go on. You can overcome it. You don't have to sit and say, well, you know, everything's ruined and nothing. No, don't start that. God gave Dorcas a new life. Gave her a new life. But man, read through the Bible and see how many people God completely changed. Yeah, but preacher, that is then, and this is now. Could I just remind you what He's done for others? He'll do for you. He'll do for you. God's not changed. He's not a respecter of persons. I'm so glad that He'll take us as we come and forgive us, but He doesn't leave us that way. Doesn't leave us that way. And The Lord can do things for you, all right? I just want to take you back there to verse 34. Be folks here tonight I don't know about that struggling, problems and trials. And Lord, maybe they feel broken. Maybe there's some that would say, I just can't forgive myself. Lord, would you help us?